So we're talking about embracing God-given identity. We have shared a couple sessions before. One we shared talked about the fact that we are heirs of God. So we're not just children of God, because you can be a child at different stages. The Bible uses different words. You can be a babe. Paul talks about them in Corinthians. You can be an infant. Paul talks about them in Galatians, that the infant is no different from the slave, even though they are heir of everything. And then Paul talks about us as being children and as being sons, that they are mature children of God. And as sons, he says, therefore we're heirs. So it's not just stopping at being sons and daughters of God, but it's going on to function as heirs of God, being concerned about the Father's business, functioning perhaps in some ways that the heirs in the natural function concerning the monarchy in England. Those kids, they understand who they are and how they function differently from the rest. And we are called to function as heirs of the Father differently from the rest who don't understand who they are. And then last time we shared about the fact that God has called us, but he has called us not just to be Christians. The word Christian is only used 3 times in the Bible. But the Bible says in Acts 11 that the disciples were called Christians. So we're actually called to be disciples first. And so God has called you and me to function as disciples of Christ. As people who are following after the Lord, seeking to grow and to be like the Master. The disciples are supposed to become like the Master. And the reason why they call them Christians in Antioch was because they were functioning like Christ. It was a derivative term, basically trying to ridicule them because they were functioning like little Christ. And you and I are called to function like little Christ in the earth, to allow the power of God to flow through us and the character of God to be seen in us. Today I want to continue. I want to read a scripture from Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. There's so much in this book. I'm trying to figure out where to start. I'm just going to read from verse 36 down, because we're going to come back and read some of the other verses. Romans 8:36 says, as it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God as in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So, Paul uses a word there, which is what I'm calling this message. He says, we are called to be more than conquerors. We have shared in the past that our destiny, our identity, pulls us towards our destiny. And so when Paul says we are more than conquerors, there's something in it that pulls us towards our destiny. And as I was spending time before the Lord, preparing and looking at this thing, I've just been tremendously blessed. For those who are new, the outline of what I'm sharing is in the middle of the bulletin. Somewhere there you might be able to pick up where I'm at. I'm going to skip right down to section A, number 3, and then come back up. Romans 8:37 says, no. In all these things, he mentioned things above. You're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. He mentioned things below. In all of those things, we're not just conquerors. He says we are more than conquerors. In the Greek, that's actually just one word. That we have to use so many words in English to translate. And so section 3 there on the A highlights that. The word is hooper. Nikao. Nikao by itself means conqueror, to be victorious, to overcome. That's what Nikao means by itself. The word Nikos means victor. So if you name Nikolaos, L-A-O-S at the end, means people. Nikolaos is somebody who's a victor for the people. So we are, Paul doesn't say just victors, we're not just conquerors. In the Greek, there was another word put there, another a prefix before it, hooper, which really means it's a superlative. It means above and beyond. I like that. In other words, you and I, we are called not just to be victorious. How many of you understand what I'm saying? We are called to be more than victorious. To triumph beyond. That's awesome. We're not just barely getting through. You watch some of these boxers and at the end of it they're just barely standing and they're victorious. No, we're not like that. We are triumphing and the enemy is completely defeated in our lives and in our circumstances. All because of what Jesus Christ has done.
Right.
I mean, this is powerful stuff. Lord, help us. How should I put it? You know what it says? We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. You and I, we are called to be God's beloved. God loves us. But there's a revelation of God's love that you and I need to get that is linked to us being more than conquerors. I don't know if you see it in the verse. We're not just more than conquerors out here by ourselves, but it's through him who loves us. So there's something about the love of God that you and I need to grasp that brings us into the understanding that I'm not just being victorious, I'm more than victorious. I've met so many people and they tell me, I know God loves me. It's an intellectual thing. You see, when something starts to transform into your spirit, you stand and you walk differently because you know God loves you. And so Paul is saying that despite these circumstances, and we'll look at some of them if the Lord permits, despite all of these circumstances, because of God's love in us, because of the work of Christ on the cross, you and I are more than victorious. Half of the problem we have in our society is for people who don't have parents that have shown them the love that they should have been shown. And so they go around trying to prove themselves, trying to get attention and act up in class and all sort of stuff. The child who grows up in an environment of love grows up with a lot of confidence, a lot of identity. They know who they are. And they don't have to prove themselves to anybody else. They know that they are loved. And so that child usually will end up doing much better in school because they know that they are loved. So, God loves us so much that he sent his son to the cross. And he completely defeated the enemy. Colossians 2 says, verse 13, when you were dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the written code with his regulation that was against us, that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed the powers and the authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. And so Paul says in Galatians, in Colossians, sorry, that Christ has completely defeated Satan, completely annihilated him, made him a public spectacle in the spiritual realm. All of the hosts of heaven knows that Satan has been defeated. There's no doubt in their mind, the enemy understands that. And he did that for you and for me. Because God never lost his throne. He was always ruling and reigning. It was us who were held captive by the enemy. It was us over whom the enemy controlled our lives. It says in Ephesians that he still works. The spirit that still works in the children of disobedience. It was us who were in bondage. And Jesus Christ came and completely defeated the enemy. So you and I can now walk in freedom. And it's all because of his love for you and for me. And that's why Paul Club said earlier on in Romans 8 that if God so freely gave us his son, won't he with him give us all things that we need? I like this scripture in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1 verse 18. Paul is praying for the church as we need to pray for ourselves. And he says, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order you may know the hope to which you have been called, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in this present age, but also in the age to come. And so because of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, the Father has exalted him far above, not close. It says far above all rule and all authority and all power and all names that can be named in this age and the age to come. In other words, Jesus has been exalted to the highest place. Verse 22, and God has placed what? All things. You sure you're reading that correctly, Joe Campbell? You sure it's not some things? According to Paul, Christ is seated in heavenly places, and God has placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for who? For the church. Which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. So Christ is exalted to the highest place, not just now, but in all ages to come. The Satan has been completely defeated. It's a settled issue in the heavenlies. Isn't that awesome? And then he says to us in chapter 2 of Ephesians 2:6, that we are also seated in Christ Jesus in heavenly places. In other words, you and me, we are also seated with Christ, far above all rule, far above all authority, far above all principality and power. You and I have been placed into that position of authority over the works of darkness. That's why Paul is praying for the church. Because once they could get this revelation inside of them, they'd function differently. There's something about Christianity. It's not an academic thing. What we need is revelation. Yeah. I know the difference. Because I teach at OTC, I'm teaching philosophy and stuff. That's academic. But when it comes to the things of God, what we need is revelation. So it moves more ahead to our spirits. So understand that we are in a position of authority. We are more than conquerors. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 16. Paul again is praying for the church. Ephesians 3:16. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide, how long, how high and deep is the love of Christ. So Paul is praying again for the saints. And he's praying that just as how Christ dwells in the heart, they may be rooted and established. The New American Standard Version says, rooted and grounded in the love of Christ. That's what he says. In other words, there's something that needs to happen to us. The roots are supposed to go deep into the love of Christ. So we get nourishment knowing that we are loved by the Lord. And the roots go deep. So that no matter what external circumstances are, we know that we are loved. But Paul goes further and says, not just rooted, but to be grounded, established. You're firm in this understanding that God loves you. So it don't matter if somebody outside doesn't like you and they call your names, it makes no difference. You understand what I'm saying, saints? Yeah. There's something that my parents did for me as a child that has kept me all these years. It's that people worried about the children being bullied and other things, and I don't believe in children being bullied. But when I went to school, they call me all sort of names. And my response was always, and I'm still better looking than you. Or, and I'm still brighter than you. You understand what I'm saying? You can call me all sort of names and I'm going to say, I'm still smarter than you. And that has kept me through the years because somehow my parents instilled in me that I'm a child of destiny. And I shouldn't allow anybody out there to determine who I am because God has determined who I am.
Right.
And so when you realize you're loved, it doesn't matter what people call you. You stand firm and you're rooted in the love of God. It doesn't matter your external circumstances because you know that God loves you. But he doesn't stop there. There was a time when I used to get fed up with all these prophecies, the Lord loves you, the Lord loves you. Until the Lord started to open my eyes to realize that, no, people need to get a revelation. They need to get a revelation. It goes from not just being in their head, but being in their spirit. So let's read on in Ephesians 3 there. So it says that you being rooted and grounded in the love may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide, how long, how high, how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. It's revelation. And that you being filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And I used to stop there. Well, look at verse 20. Verse 20 says, now to him who's able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine according to his power that's at work within us. Again, that word there, immeasurable, is a compound word in the Greek. And I put it there for you in the 3a. It's huper ek perioso. Perioso already means abundant. The prefix ek means beyond, out. So the abundance is more than just that. It's more than abundant. But then he has hyper, which means beyond, more than abundant. You follow what I'm saying? That's just one word in the Greek. So Paul is saying that the God that we serve, the God that loves you and me, is able to do, the NIV, the American Standard says, exceedingly abundantly above. And right after that word in the Greek comes hyper by itself. Can you imagine Revelation Paul is trying to pray for the church? That if you could grasp the love of God, you realize how much God loves you and that there's nothing, nothing, nothing that you can imagine that he can't do.
That's right.
That's what he says.
So the little box we have is blown out because we realize how much God loves me. And if he loves me so much that he gave me his son, he'll give me all things freely with him. It's super abundantly above all I could ever ask or think. No wonder we're more than conquerors. There's no limit to our victory. There's no limit to God's supply. Once you understand the love of God and you start to grow in it, and you start to get more and more revelation as to how much God loves you and how much he wants to take care of you and how much he wants to intervene in your life and in your circumstances, it doesn't really matter anymore. You're no longer caught by the immediate circumstances. Even experiencing persecution, he says, shall persecution separate us from the love of God? No. It's an established fact. He loves me so much that persecution, oh, Paul says it's momentary light affliction. Is that all you have? That's what Paul is saying. Is that all you have? Because I understand I'm loved so much. And he's able to do so much more as I would intercede and stand in his presence. I'm not worried. The Hebrew boys, Daniel, do they look like they were worried? They were cast into the fire. And before you know it, they're walking around in the fire with the presence of God. They weren't worried. They were like, oh no, what's going to happen? We live in this heathen country with this heathen king and all these people hate us. What's going to happen? They weren't like that. They were confident. They knew that. They said to the king, King, listen, let me tell you something, King. God is able to deliver us. But King, even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow. You follow what I'm saying? And so God delivered them, and the Bible said that they even smell of smoke. That's the abundant life. It didn't even smell like smoke. Daniel is sitting there in the lion's den, and he has a new pet. He's just playing with it. In the mane of the lion. Hey, how are you doing? That's abundant life. It's exceedingly abundantly above. The king is outside panicking. Ah, what's going to happen? Yeah. So being loved by God, it's more than just a theological statement. It's more than just stay at one place. We need to grow in that love. Grow in the revelation of that love. That causes us when we pray to know that because he loves me and I'm praying concerning his purposes, he will do it. There's no limit. Take the limits off God. Don't let nobody tell you that God stopped working miracles. I don't know where they get that from. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. Ever. Jesus Christ, it says Hebrews 13:6. He still works. He still intervenes. He still does miracles. I don't care what politicians want to do and say. I know the Lord Jesus Christ. I know his love, and there's nothing that they can do that can hinder me experiencing his love and hinder me experiencing his miraculous intervention in my life. So Paul lists all sorts of circumstances, and the first thing he says there in Romans is that if God is for us, who can be against us? You see, when you have the revelation of how big your God is, it's like, who can be against me? Oh, they pass a new law. So what? The Supreme Court says this. Who cares? God is for me. God is for you. So who cares what earthly people can do? Because God is in charge and he's all powerful and nothing can hinder his purposes. You know, they just passed a new law in Russia. Make it illegal for the church to evangelize outside of the church buildings. And I'm like, didn't you guys have that before when you had the iron curtain or whatever it was? And it didn't work. You can't silence the church. You can't stop God's kingdom. How many of you in China right now, the church is growing? In Iran, the church is growing. Because you cannot stop God when God wants to fulfill his will and his purposes. And so you can do all manner of stuff in this country. There's always a remnant who are going to remain faithful to God. And God's going to still work miracles. So I've listed several things there. But as you grow in the love of God, the Bible says perfect love casts out fear. The bulk of the problem we have is fear. What's going to happen tomorrow? Fear brings that anxiety. Fear what people are going to do. Fear what the circumstances are going to be like. But when you have this perfect love, it's like, well, God is with me. So that means I'm all right. Paul says in Philippians, my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory. God brought 2 million people out of Egypt and took care of them for 40 years in the wilderness. Certainly he can take care of me. And the presence of God was so powerful there with them in the wilderness, he says, the clothes didn't even wear out. Because something happens when you're in the presence of God. He keeps you going. He restores you. He meets all of your needs. Paul is there in Philippians, and Paul is saying, you know what, listen, I know what it is to have plenty, and I know what it is to have little. But in all of these things, you know what? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so he has this confidence. So no negative circumstance can prevent us from experiencing God's power and God's provision. If there's famine, he will still provide. If there's recession, he will still provide. I'm not looking to government for my provision. I'm looking to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So he will still provide. It doesn't matter the external circumstances. And he's not going to provide just a little bit. When Jesus fed the 5,000 friends, there was food left over. That's the abundant life. You know, years ago, when my wife and I moved here, for the first 2 years or so, I didn't have a work permit, so I couldn't work. So I thought, well, if I can't work, I can go to school. That's why I went to school. That's how I ended up being a doctorate down at the Assemblies of God Seminary. It's because I had nothing else to do. Yeah. So I went there to study, and I thought I might as well do, I've done a master's before, I might as well do a second master's. I walk in to talk to the recruiting people, and they said, well, why do another master's? Just do these extra courses here, and you can go straight into the doctoral program. I said, okay, I'll do it. I have nothing to lose. And then I looked at the cost, the tuition. I'm like, whoa, I don't know how this is going to be paid. It's over $10,000. A few weeks later, my sister, who lives in Jamaica, where things are hard economically, calls me and says, the Lord has said to her she should pay for my tuition to complete my doctorate. Yeah. And within a few weeks, I had the check, which I deposited in my bank, to pay to complete tuition for the entire 4 years. You see what I'm talking about? I'm talking about the God who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all I can ever ask or think. Right. Take the boxes off what you think God can do. Right. I'm more than a conqueror through him who loves me. Yeah. He has not brought me this far to be defeated. Right. He has brought me this far to move me from victory unto victory unto victory unto victory. How many understand that? It's part of his very nature to lead us into victory. It's part of his nature to provide for us as we go to the next step. This is the last thing I'll share. There's something about how God functions. In Romans here, Paul says,
And Abraham says that he calls that which is not as if it is. He calls it into being. You know, you all know that scripture, right? So the Lord comes to Gideon, right? You all know Gideon is the least of the least of the least, and he's hiding out in the cellar, afraid of the Midianites, like many Christians, hiding out, afraid of the government, afraid of being sued, hiding out somewhere. He's afraid. And God comes to him, and what does God say? Does God say, you look a weakling, you? You look a scared puss? God doesn't do that. That's what the devil does. God calls him out of where he's at into where he's supposed to be. And so God calls him a mighty man of valor. And Gideon's like, I don't know who he's talking to. And God is trying to get him to understand, you're more than a conqueror of Gideon. You're a mighty man of valor. And so God calls us what he wants us to be so we can end up there. So I don't know where you're hiding out in your cellar, but I want you to know this morning, you're more than a conqueror through him who loves you. Just call into victory. Stop hiding. Stop complaining. Worship him. If you need to open your mouth, then might as well bless God. And so he calls Gideon like that. He does the same thing in John chapter 1, I think it's about verse 42. He comes, Jesus that is, and he sees Peter. And he says to Peter, you know, you're called Simon. You know what Simon means? Pebble. Stone, a little pebble. And Jesus says to him, no. You're going to be called Cephas, Peter, which means rock. It's right there. You don't believe me? In John 1, 42. In other words, you're calling Peter something else. You're no longer a little stone. You're a rock. I want you to see yourself like that and function like that so you can fulfill the destiny I have for you. Isaiah chapter 62. It says, verse 1, for Zion's sake I will not keep silent, for Jerusalem's sake I will not remain quiet, till her righteousness shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. The nations will see your righteousness and all the kings your glory. You will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. You will be a crown of splendor in the Lord's hand, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. No longer will you be called deserted, or your land desolate. Instead, you're going to be called Hephzibah, which really means delighted, and your land Beulah, which means married or belonged or owned. And so God is here saying to his people, listen, I have a new name for you. You're fruitful. I delight in you. You belong to me. You're my own. Right. Don't listen to the world calling you deserted. Don't listen to people calling you abandoned. You're not abandoned. You've been accepted by God. You're loved by God. Right. Don't listen to all those things you heard when you were a child. You're loved by God. You're victorious. But I'm struggling. You're victorious. Don't look at yourself like Gideon. You're victorious. What, this thing is holding me back? No, you're more than a conqueror. This thing is going to break off your life. You're going to walk in victory. But I feel alone. You're not deserted. God says you belong to him. It's a new name. Last scripture, Isaiah 61 and verse 6. Somebody need to get hold of this. Verses 6 and 7. And you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. You understand that? You will be called priests of the Lord. You're going to be spending time in God's presence. Have access to the Father, ministering to him. You will feed on the wealth of the nations,
and their riches will be, and in their riches you will boast. Instead of their shame, instead of their shame, my people receive a double portion. You understand? So I don't know what might have happened in people's lives. I don't know how you have mistreated. I don't understand all of those stuff. But one thing I do know, God doesn't see you as being shameful. God is calling you out of that. And he's calling you his beloved. He's calling you his bride. He's calling you my possession. I love you. And if you can get the revelation, it pulls you out of the circumstance. Gideon eventually got the revelation. He's a mighty man of valor. And therefore, he didn't need 30,000 people to win anymore. 300 was enough because what? I'm a mighty man of valor through
That's
God.
Right. That's right.
David looked at Goliath and says, listen, Goliath, you don't understand. But today, God is going to give me your head and your body and of all these people are going to be eaten by the birds. Why? Because of the God whom I serve, I'm more than a conqueror.
Hallelujah.
I love it. He said, and instead of disgrace, they'll rejoice in their inheritance. So they will inherit what? A double portion.
Yeah.
So God doesn't just say, well, you know, things were rough, let me just try and restore you. No, it's double for your trouble.
Yeah.
Turn to your neighbor and say, it's double for your trouble.
Yeah.
It's more than a conqueror. And everlasting joy will be theirs. Are you getting it? We're not just loved. We are loved to become more than conquerors. We are loved to be victorious. We are loved so we can be drawn out of disgrace and shame into a relationship with God. We are loved so that he will give us a double portion. That things were rough. If your life, if you, when you were brought up was difficult, there's a lot more double portion for you.
Yes.
They all start to believe it and start to walk in it.
Right.
You know, God didn't even bring the children of Israel out of Egypt without giving them all the wealth, all the gold and all the stuff of the Egyptians. You know that?
Right.
He said to them, go and ask them for it. And I showed them you favor in their sight. And I gave them the gold. They gave them the gold. Can you imagine? A slave coming to me and say, can I get your gold? And I'm saying, yeah, it's down in the cellar. That's God giving you double for your trouble.
Right.
Oh, let us stand. Sean, if Sean would come on back. Friends, we are more than conquerors. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're more than a conqueror. My Lord, help us. I need you. I need Daniel, if you'd come and stand up here.
I am yours, you are mine, together we'll be till the end of time, till the end of time, till the end of time. Told me
In Zechariah 2 and verse 8, the Lord says, "You are the apple of mine eye." Somebody needs to hear that this morning. You're the apple of the Lord's eye. He's watching over you. He's taking care of you. You delight him, and he delights in you. Father, we thank you this morning that, Lord, you delight in us. Lord, in the same way in which you came down to fellowship with Adam in the garden, Lord, you come down to fellowship with us each time we gather. Lord, you just delight to be in our presence. You delight for us to worship you. And so, Lord, this morning we thank you, God, you have come and you have been with us and you have touched us and you have spoken to us and you're still working in us. And Father, I pray for every one of us, myself included, that, Lord, you might help us to comprehend the length and the depth and the height and the breadth of your love, which goes beyond our intellectual ability to comprehend. Lord, increase our revelation, increase our understanding. Help us to take the limits of what you're able to do, oh God. Lord, take us from victory unto victory. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Lord, may your spirit rest upon us. Lord, may your anointing be in us and through us. Lord, may we be sensitive to your voice to hear you daily. Father, may you shine the light of your countenance upon us. Lord, may you give us your favor and show us your peace. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, and amen. The Lord.